They've been reading from Bhagavad Gita chapter 17, the divisions of faith, text 16. Joy. 16. I'm a little bit nervous about this verse because it describes good qualities. 17:16. Chapter 17, verse 16. Okay. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Mana prasada saumyatvam maunam atma vinigraham bhava samshudhiriti etat tapo manasam uchiti mana prasada saumyatvam Maunam atma vinigraha bhava samshudhiriti etat tapo mana samuchyate mana prasada saumyatvat maunam atma vinigraha bhava samshudhiriti etat Tapo mana samuchyate. Mana prasada saumyatvam. Maunam atma vinigraha. Bhavam samshudhiriti etat. Tapo mana samuchyate. Mana prasada saumyatvam maunam atma vinigraha bhava samshudhiriti etat tapo mana samuchyate yeah? You know what? Mana prasada samyatvam maunam atma vinigraham bhava samshudhiriti etat tapo mana samuchyate mana prasadaham satisfaction of the mind Samyatvam, being without duplicity towards others. Maunam, gravity. Atma, of the self. Vinigraham, control. Bhava, of one's nature. Samshudhi, purification. Iti, thus. Etat, This tapaham austerity manasam of the mind uchyate is said to be. Translation purport by Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And satisfaction, simplicity, gravity, self-control, and purification of one's existence are the austerities of the mind. To make the mind austere is to detach it from sense gratification. It should be so trained that it can be always thinking of doing good for others. The best training for the mind is gravity in thought. One should not deviate from Krishna consciousness and must always avoid sense gratification. To purify one's nature is to become Krishna conscious. Satisfaction is the mind of the mind can be obtained only by taking the mind away from thoughts of sense enjoyment. The more we think of sense enjoyment, the more the mind becomes dissatisfied. In the present age, we unnecessarily engage the mind in so many different ways for sense gratification, and so there is no possibility of the mind's becoming satisfied. The best course is to divert the mind to the Vedic literature, which is full of satisfying stories, as in the Puranas and the Mahabharata. One can take advantage of this knowledge and thus become purified. The mind should be devoid of duplicity, and one should think of the welfare of all. Since silence means that one is always thinking of self-realization, the person in Krishna consciousness observes perfect silence in this sense. Control of the mind means detaching the mind from sense enjoyment. One should be straightforward in these dealings and thereby purify his existence. All these qualities together constitute austerity in the mental activities. Om Gyanati Mirandasya Gyanjana Shalaka Chakshuri Maritamiya Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mau Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Nami Namaste Sarasati Deva Gauravani Pracharini Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Vishatari Panchatatvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Sarupakam Bhaktavatara Bhaktakyam Nami Bhaktashaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sinhu Dinamanda Jagatpati Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Nastuti Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vinyavishwari Vishabhava Sutta Devi Pradamani Manah Prasadaha, satisfaction of the mind. Prabhupada mentions several times in this one short purport that the mind cannot be satisfied if the mind is engaged in sense gratificatory, thinking of sense gratification. Senses being engaged in sense gratification, thinking of sense gratification, planning to have sense gratification. So more these subject matters are in the mind, more the mind is agitated. That's the principle. So there is no limit. There is no limit to this, because there's always the desire is greater and greater to have more and more. It's called greed, and it's called lust. Accumulate more and more wealth, have more and more possessions. That's greed. Want more and more. So it's more and more agitation, more and more contamination is within the mind. Having more and more enjoyment, gratifications of the senses, see different things, feel different things, touch different things, hear different things that are like with selfish motivation. This is for my pleasure. So more these things are used, more the mind is agitated. But the hope is always that, oh no, if I enjoy, if I increase, more I will be happy. That is the general idea. You know. More wealth do I have, more will I be happy. Or more pleasure will I have available, facility for pleasure. Then more successful I will be. But here the principle is just the opposite. No. It's not that sense gratification or accumulation of wealth and so on will bring satisfaction. These things has to be satisfaction, simplicity, gravity, self-control, and purification of one's existence are the austerities of the mind. These things have nothing to do with, they are meant to, the practicing of these things are to train the mind not to go into the forbidden things, not to think wrong things. And it's also is the sign of strong intelligence also. Satisfaction. There is another question here. Manah prasada means satisfaction of the mind. How can this be practiced? Satisfaction of the mind. Or gravity. Grave. To be grave. This is very good quality. To be serious about things. Serious about what to do with life that you have available. Sometimes people forget about the importance of life. You know, why do I live? What's the purpose of life, right? Is it? And then they take everything lightly, whatever. Like a wrong type of fearlessness. Just forget about everything. Just act according to your feeling and just relax and enjoy whatever suits you. But these tendencies, they go sometimes, they're self-destructive tendencies, which in extreme cases they end with terrible consequences. Yes. For example, people who take drugs. That's example. I just want to have fun. What's wrong with having fun? And, you know, the consequences, you know, sometimes they're very heavy. If the person doesn't get rid of the habit soon enough, or takes wrong drug. When I was still in high school, there was one friend of mine who was partying, and then she brought the news that someone died because of taking too much ecstasy. And nobody knew because there's many types of ecstasy, what that type of ecstasy, is it good or not? Because sometimes bad stuff comes, right? That's how they think. And then the girl, teenager, she took ecstasy thinking that's normal type of ecstasy, but it was bad ecstasy. So she had to, she was found behind the building. And she dehydrated, she died. So, I mean, just want to have fun, right? Just want to have fun. No. To be grave means to know what you're doing in life, to make every decision, to think about what is my mission in life, right? Because everyone has a mission for Krishna, right? We have to consider what is proper thing to do in life. Not just take things lightly and do one decision, then other decision. Gravity, satisfaction, simplicity, self-control, controlling the senses, purification of one's existence. To be attached to goodness, purification of one's existence, to stay clean externally and internally. I would say that this means purification of one's existence, because then you remain clean and, you know, things are tidy and you keep things clean externally, like place where you live, and your body is like taken care of, hygiene is like good hygiene, and so on. So purification of the, to maintain things. Satoguna is about maintenance, about sustainability. That's satoguna. So if you think, keep things always clean, like externally, and internally by chanting Hare Krishna and hearing about Krishna, thinking of Krishna and so on, as also mentioned here, then this is the purification. You're keeping you're sustaining purity. So that's also control of the austerity of the mind. To some people, it's very difficult to stay clean. Like their room or their house, sometimes is. I've seen people, they live in a terrible, like, kind of. I wouldn't be able to live like that. Things all over the place and not clean. So it's like, it's a sign. We can improve our character by keeping things clean and maintain this purity, cleanliness, external and internal, by engaging devotional service, by engaging our activities, our thinking also. Thinking, this very specifically stresses Prabhupada in purport about thinking, because thinking is important function. It's important. It's important what we think about, because that what we think, then we will think more about that, and more about that, and more about that. And it's like you think about something that it's not very nice, like sinful activities, then the mind will be agitated. Will be reminded. Sometimes it's like very fast. Sometimes if someone says something, and then we feel inside that something is wrong with this statement, isn't it? Mind goes very quickly to what is heard or sensed by the senses. So mind immediately follows that. So restrictions, regulations of the senses and the mind is done in this way, that it's avoidance of negative things and acceptance of positive things. Also what we're thinking, what we're using our senses for. There's one interesting point in this regard. What's the difference between an animal and enjoyment of an animal and enjoyment of a human? There's one difference, because, you know, in one sense, animals defend, animals have sleep and eat and so on. So animals and humans, they do that. But what animals cannot do is to regulate these things. Animals cannot regulate, you know, it's like, I don't know, some pig will say, oh, today I'll fast. It's Bhima Nirjala Ekadashi. Or, you know, horse says, you know, it's like, I don't know, let me, I don't know, whatever. No, animals cannot, they're not, it's they act according to the instinct. That's why this principle of having regulated life is important for everyone. And it's also virtuous. People who regulate it, they get blessings for that. They become wise. Because if you're indulging in unregulated sense gratification, if people, they do that all the time. Like most of the people in the world, they desire to have unlimited sense gratification, unlimited resources for sense gratification. But even if they have them, then only with one body they cannot fulfill all their desires, because one body cannot. Can you imagine? In the mind, there is so much so desire for great sense gratification, and even the facility would come. Person would not be able to manifest, because it's the body is very limited. Anyway, it's like but the desire is always there, like for unlimited sense gratification. It's like because everyone in this world is susceptible, like humans are susceptible to sense gratification. They'll fall down. Also, if someone is keeping standards, is always satisfied And because satisfaction is not just something that has to come naturally. It's also can also be practiced. Simplicity, being grave, being serious, self-control. These things can also be practiced. But there is always problem because a person can fall down from these standards. There was one very pure Brahmin, young Brahmin, very pure. There's a nice story here. And he heard that the king said, "I'll give half of the kingdom to a person who will tell me what is the price of a fall down." And then Brahmin became excited. He said, this is interesting question. The young Brahmana, he started to wander around and travel. And because while traveling, people learn a lot. It's recommended to travel sometimes. Because while you're traveling, you meet people, you learn a lot. And I know I was traveling. Sometimes it was a little bit adventurous also. And I learned many things. On the way, met different people, saw different things, experienced different things, and it's good. So Brahmin went to travel. He said, "I'll search for an answer. I'll find someone who knows this answer, and then I'll give it to the king. I'll get half of the kingdom." And then while the Brahmin was traveling, one rich merchant. He invited him into the house. He said, "Oh, pure Brahmin, you're such an elevated soul. You're self-controlled. You're in full knowledge. Stay with me. I will take care." And then Brahmin accepted the invitation. And then the merchant asked him, "Why are you wandering around? You know, why are you wandering around like this, traveling from one place to another?" And Brahmin said, "I'm looking for an answer. I want to know what is the price of a fall down." And then the merchant said, thought, and he said, "I will tell you. Okay, I will tell you what is the price of a fall down." And then Brahmin became very excited and said, "Oh, really?" "Yes," he said, "but you will be served food by a mlecha, a very polluted person, who is a prostitute, actually, who is considered to be a very low standard of life, very impure. Of course, the Brahmin refused. He said, "No, I cannot do that because my consciousness will be purified." Obviously, this Brahmin was very careful about who is he receiving gifts from. And this is also in Vedic culture, yes. That who you're receiving gifts, and especially food, from. So he said, "This is not possible. And because if I do that, then I'll be affected. And I might lose my Brahminical standards. I will not be able to control my senses anymore." And then the merchant said, "If you don't accept that prostitute will serve you, then with food and everything, then you will not know." And then the Brahmin said, "Okay, she can bring me food." And then she served him, she bring him food, and he was eating. And then next day, Brahmin said, "Okay, will you tell me now what is the price of a fall down?" And then merchant said, "Okay, today prostitute will cook for you and serve you." And Brahmin said, "Not possible. I will not accept food from such a lowly person, such a contaminated person, who follows no religious standards. no ethics, I will not accept, not possible. And then everything was brought, Prabhupada was there, cooked food and brought in front of him. He said, no, I will not take. And then the merchant, he took out of his pocket, he took 7 or 10 gold coins, which is good, like very good wealth. And he said, okay, I will give you this amount of gold coins if you will accept, and then I will tell you. And then Brahmin, he said, he was looking at the gold, and was looking at the food and circumstance he find himself, and he was thinking that if I actually get the answer, then I will have half of the kingdom and all this gold and so on. And he said, okay, I will accept. And as soon as he wanted to take the food, the merchant touched him and said, stop. Now you know what is the price of a fall down. Greed. Greed is the price of a fall down. Because Brahmin, he was following the standards. But then he thought, I will have so much, I will be so rich, I will have so much facilities to sense gratification. Insight was going on. And then he wanted to break his standards. He accepted. And he would have fallen down if he would accept all the services that the merchant was offering to him. So that is one nice story. I thought it's very important to understand that these enemies, greed, lust, anger, they're there waiting. And they're connected. Anger, it's mentioned, anger transforms the body. You know, when a person is very angry, then gets eyes, tears come to the eyes, or something starts to shake, you know, I'm very... It's like transformation of the body, you lose control. You know, it's like, on one point, it's like if anger is very, very heavy, a very strong anger, then people lose control and they yell at each other and they cannot. It's like go mad, you know, madness. Start to because the situation becomes mad, you know, because of extreme anger. And also greed. Oh, so much hope. I'll fulfill these plans and I'll have so much money. And then I'll have so much opulence and everything. But all these things, do they bring satisfaction? No satisfaction. Devoted person should endeavor to be satisfied in any circumstance. Unfortunately, there is only one way to do that. There is no other way. It's like, it's a little bit kind of delicate thing, but there is many principles which we hear about from our scriptures that say, if you don't do that, then it's impossible to continue to become happy and satisfied. So there's only one way. It's not tata mata pata. How is it? That famous yatama tata pata. Every path leads to the same goal. I'm not sure if that is true, but I'm pretty sure it's not, because we see that people end in different places. So, yes, there's only one way. What is that? To think of Krishna. Think of Krishna, to engage our mind in the service of Krishna. Because restriction of the senses, regulation, being satisfied. It's very difficult to do it artificially. Like, okay, I'll be now renounced, and I'll give up so many things that I have. But there is, on the other side, there is no good purpose. Why would I do that? Like some exchange for, you know, like some substitute. You know, it's like you should control your mind. How do I do that? Do I stop the mind functions? Do I use my intelligence and focus the mind on whatever? Is it, you know, okay, I can focus my mind on the candle's light, candle's flame for like, I don't know how many minutes. But is that good enough to absolutely purify, to completely purify the mind? Candle's flame is not going to be enough, I would say, to control the mind, which is very difficult to control. As Arjuna and Krishna discuss in Bhagavad Gita, that how can I control the mind is more difficult to control than the wind. Who can stop the wind? It's like, you know, to some extent they can a little bit regulate, but it's not really. They can't do really much about it. So what to speak of stopping the wind. Science has not advanced that much that would stop the wind, right? I don't know. You can't stop the wind. You can redirect it. You can make a fence, or you can make some closed thing, and then when the wind comes, then it goes some other direction. So that's like mind. It's like mind. You can only redirect it. You cannot stop it. But it's possible by intelligence. Intelligence is superior to the mind. And when the mind is without any control, then intelligence is in unnatural position. Means that intelligence follows the mind. That's what I mentioned. It's like completely being aloof of like what's common sense, not caring for what's common sense, what's not. But when the intelligence comes up and says this is right, this is wrong, and this we should be focused on, this we should not be focused on, then the mind is regulated. So the substitute, where to direct the mind? Towards Krishna. Yeah. I'm trying to remember, but I one story, but I can't remember detail about the mind. How was the some performance? There was some performance, stage performance, drama when the mind came. What was it? I forgot. Several years ago, I heard it. A nice story about telling how the mind, wherever he went, there was like genie from the lamp, something like that. Was like the mind, and wherever the mind went was dissatisfied. Okay, look, you can have whatever you want, what you want. I want, I don't know, mountain of gold. Okay, you have mountain of gold. Now I want, what do I want? I don't know. You got to say, I want something else. I want Rolls Royce, handmade, just for me. I can suggest some design there, some little thing there. I want the front light to have this particular shape. Yes. Okay. Okay, you have this. Okay, I have this. So what now? Something else. And then finally, the intelligence came, said, "Oh mind, what is happening with you? I have to follow you all this way and that way, but you're never satisfied. I allow you to do everything, but you're never satisfied. I give you wealth, I give you the facility for enjoyment, and everything. Give you house at the sea, color TV, Jai Jagadish Hari. I give you everything, but you're not happy. What's the problem? Okay, let me solve your problem. I give you chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Chant Hare Krishna." And then I started to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. First became a little bit frustrated for the first 30 years. And then and then I'm a little bit sarcastic, sorry. No. Chanting of Hare Krishna is very nice. Sometimes if it's not done properly, it's also can be difficult. But devotees always endeavor to learn how to chant properly, so sooner or later they conquer those difficulties in it, and chanting becomes very nice. Whenever they chant, it's nice. So yes, chanting of Hare Krishna, and then the mind, oh yeah, this is the right thing to do. And whenever the mind went away, okay, I want again something else, the intelligence came. I said, come back, come back, come back to chanting. This is good for you, this is good for you. Like training is there. Always pull it back to where it should be. Because we're always susceptible. Susceptible means that if we come in contact, then we'll be affected by it. It's like that. Susceptible for some disease or something. If there is some contagious disease and you're in that area, then you're, because if it's contagious disease, then you're susceptible and then you get a disease, right? You're affected. So this affection to become affected is always possible as long as we are in material world. This is always possible. So it's danger. This is called a fear to fall down. A devotee should always be afraid not to fall down, not to make wrong decisions, which will cause not to follow properly the principles of devotional service. So this danger is there. We can become affected. We're susceptible. And to avoid this, to avoid the contact with the material energy and thus become affected, it's important to always keep the mind on safe place, and that is with Krishna. Pull it back. Krishna also recommends this to Arjuna. If the mind goes some other place, then because you have also intelligence, and intelligence, because you have intelligence, you know what is good, what is bad, then you pull the mind back to what is good. There's important instruction for us in Shastras. To accept what is favorable for devotional service and reject what is not favorable for devotional service. So intelligence, if you have some intelligence, more stronger the intelligence is, more that we are learned in scriptures and so on, then we will understand what is right, what is not right, what is ethical, what is not ethical, what is good for us, what is not good for us. So all these things they're dealing with. We're dealing with inner life, what's happening inside of us. Tendencies. We have tendencies. Some of them are manifest, we can see them. Some of them are in dormant state, they're sleeping there. And then perhaps later on, if they will not be purified by chanting, they might come up later. There's tendencies there which are always trying to pull us away from the right path, or they're creating an obstacle in our spiritual life. but we will become strong when we keep trying to pull it back, pull the mind back, and not indulge in unnecessary gross sense gratification, be karma, and like that. And by Krishna consciousness, by being in contact with Krishna, naturally, good qualities, ability to be satisfied, to be simple in life, not desire too much, accept simple life, try not to make your life too complicated. Although sometimes it's difficult to avoid to have not complicated life because of the times we live in. Then be grave, serious, self-control, purification of one's existence. These qualities will arise if we are seriously and sincerely and seriously trying to progress in Krishna consciousness. Saying sincerely and seriously because one should misunderstand that sincerely means that I know where I'm at and, you know, I'm acting according to my ability, and that's sincere. I'm breaking 5 out of 4 regulative principles, but it's sincere because I know what I need, I know. But it's not sincere because that's indulgence, it's not regulated. So sincerely means being seriously engaged and keep some standard in life, some standard of chanting. Regulation is important. Regulation in what you do and that you do it every day. Some things are done every day, like chanting, brushing teeth and stuff. So we do chanting of regulated number of rounds every day because we want to train our mind to be more and more directed towards Krishna, more and more happy and satisfied. That's the alternative. To direct the mind, to connect the mind with Krishna. That is the principle we're discussing today. Being connected with Krishna. And be disconnected from sinful mentality. Not to believe the promise that I will be happy if I increase my sense enjoyment, and not hope for these things. This is important. Not hope for, for if I increase my sense gratification, if I increase my that is going to bring me ultimate happiness. Of course, one shouldn't risk like too much in this regard. You should have decent life. You should not be like going to live in the forest like some people. I'll renounce everything and I'll live in the forest. There's a lot of instructions in scripture how one can regulate one's life in a proper way. Not artificially withdrawing or giving up and things like that. How to apply things in Krishna's service, how to connect with Krishna. This means you apply yourself, you apply things you have, facility in Krishna's service. Yeah. Okay, anyone has any questions or comments? Yes. Diminish sleep. Yeah. Well, the sleep, is there is mentioned somewhere that sleep, activity of sleeping, memory and reasoning, are activities of intelligence. So because intelligence functions, then you can sleep. You go into another dimension, basically. Intelligence is very simple, but it's very much present. So if you sleep too much, then you're wasting time. If you sleep too little, then you cannot perform your duties during the day. So balance is there. Balance has to be there, established, and also some training. Because to sleep too much is not good. So the tendency is to sleep too much. So to regulate that, to practice and to sleep, to learn how to use less time for sleeping, that's a good thing. You can go gradually, so I don't know. Depends how things are. I know you don't have these problems, but some people have. To wake up early is recommended. Early hours are good for meditation stuff. So that's also part of austerity. But here is not mentioned as austerity of the mind, right? Austerity of something else. Where does it say that it's the sleeping is in this purport? On generally, okay. You're ruled by mode of being. Or influenced by, when you're not influenced. I mean, as many hours I sleep, then I'm still, you know, that it's the proof you're still influenced by the modes, because if you don't sleep enough, then you'll be affected. So you'll be disturbed. If you sleep too much, then that's again mode of ignorance. It's both, you know, it's like causes. So balance is important. Sometimes people have problems to wake up in the morning because they go to bed too late, and then have difficulty because of that. And if they try to go to bed early, then they don't have so much problems in the morning. Depends. But I don't know if it's kind of training, sleep, and that is kind of to train also to help with the controlling of the mind and things. Because intelligence, if you practice to sleep less, and then you become accustomed, then your intelligence becomes strong. And if you're a little bit not too tired and not completely sober, like 100%, like if you're a little bit tired, a little bit, not too much, that you cannot, you know, that you suffer because you're so tired, but it's like a little bit, then that helps you control. You don't look left and right. This is very good for brahmacharis to be a little bit like, they're still sober, they can do everything, it's still everything, is nothing torture, anything. But it's a little bit, you know, a little bit, that tiredness is a little bit present. And this is good because the senses will not go. It's good, it's a trick. Because if you sleep so much, then you'll be full of energy, and then mode of passion is stronger. That's what is one of the tricks for brahmacharis. Yeah, one of the tricks for brahmacharis. The allurements, the sense. Because you're a little bit influenced. But, you know, it's like a little tiredness. Something else? Well, why dislike? The first. Yeah, I know. I'm just thinking where to start. The nature of the mind is that it's never satisfied. The mind is causing all the trouble. All the impressions are kept in the mind. So when you present through the senses, or independently, the mind becomes reminded of things, then becomes more. And you know, if how can you destroy the fire by putting the oil on it? You can't do that, right? It's not how it works. If you say my mind wants to have some type of sense gratification which is forbidden, and then I'll be happy when I get that, when I get this facility, whatever, then the mind would say, no, I want more, I want different type. That's how it works. And if it's indulged, then dissatisfaction decreases, anger comes. Lust is followed by anger, because lust can never be satisfied. What is that saying? There is enough food for everyone in need. No, there is enough. How is it? And not enough for everyone's greed. There isn't for one's man greed. Yeah. See, so this is like the mind expands like big thing. But it's not possible to satisfy it in that way. It becomes more disturbed. Because I was expecting, if I get this and this and that, then I'll be happy. Convinced. Full faith. Yes, go for it. I get that. And I'm not getting the pleasure that I was expecting. Then I become, what's this? You know, this video game supposed to give me so much more. Or whatever, I don't know. You know, I was supposed to get so much more pleasure from this, but now I'm not getting anything as I was expecting. So that's always there because of lust and greed and things, the idea expands. So I'll get this, I'll be so happy, so this is the end, this is the goal of my life. And then it happens, you know, if it happens. If it doesn't happen, then you know, frustration. If it happens, frustration. Because it's not the same as you were expecting. Dreams never come true, right? In this sense, in this context. What was the other one? Yeah, he had something. Something short? Oh. Yeah, it's enough on the world for everyone's need and not enough for one person's greed. Okay. Thank you. Prabhupada ki jai, Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Thank you.